Yay, it is Thursday, and even better than being Thursday, it's 2 days past Tuesday, which means the election is over. I've never been so happy in my life to see a car dealership commercial on TV. It's just like coming home again. My gosh. Hey, welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. We appreciate you giving us a listen on the radio side of the equation. You can also give us a call at 414-1234 if it's local from us to you. Long distance, 800-926-8809. Email perspectives at WFSU.org. And if Twitter is your preferred means of communication, you can go at WFSU Perspective and get up with us this way. Oh, we love our animals. We sure do. At the outset, right before Ron's news, we were saying that about 6 out of 10 households do have an animal of some kind, cat, dog, bird, fish, whatever. And we love them and we care for them and we do the best for them. But there are many animals that do not have the advantage of our love and companionship. And that's kind of the critters we're going to be talking about today with an all-star panel of people who have devoted their lives to caring for animals who otherwise would have no one to care for them, and they're trying to connect them with new homes and new situations that'll be better for them. So let's go around the table and meet some of our folks here. New to town is Sabrina Rodriguez de Conte. She is the new executive director of the Humane Society of Leon County, just since what? October.
Yes, just a couple weeks I've been at the Leon County Humane Society, so I'm loving the job so far. I love the staff, the board of directors, and all the fabulous volunteers that I've gotten to know already. Everyone is just fantastic, and I love, you know, the work that we're doing. So,
well, this is great because you brought a couple folks here. Amy joins us here from the society, and you are with the dog foster program. In fact, you coordinate that, right, Amy?
I do. I run the dog foster program at Leon County Humane Society and have since 08, and love it. Love to save the doggies.
Okay, well, yeah, there is a doggy right here, but she is with the cat coordinator here, which is interesting. Who is Lisa Glenn? And who did you bring there with you, Lisa?
This is China. She's actually my foster dog. We've had her about 2 weeks now, and we actually got her from the Animal Service Center. So she's available and she's on our website. But you're right, I do run actually the cat foster program.
Okay, now this being radio, of course, we cannot see China. However, at the conclusion of this Perspectives, Lydell's going to be coming in, taking some shots of us and getting us up on our Perspectives at WFSU.org site. And we will be able to see China in all of her Pekingese glory.
And she can also be seen on the Humane Society, the Leon County Humane Society website as well, which is lchs.info.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you would also manage the shelter, which is also the Tallahassee Leon County Animal Service Center. Perry, you join us from there. Welcome back.
Yes. Thank you.
It is great. How many critters you got out there right now?
Oh, gosh. We are starting to fill up again. We've kind of been going in waves this past season, but we're full again. We have cats coming at our ears, and the dog kennels are filling. So you guys please come out and visit and find your new next best friend.
Yeah, because the weather's getting colder. And,
yes.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable for us, but it is also uncomfortable for critters with fur, surprisingly.
Absolutely.
Okay, and you guys are taking care of that. Well, attempting to kind of reduce the intake coming into the animal shelter, not only in Leon County, but also surrounding areas, is a program called Be the Solution. And Jerry Phipps, founder and head of Be the Solution, joins us. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here.
And how did you peel yourself away from the new thrift store that you all opened the other week, huh?
Oh, gosh. I just did. I said, I'm going. And somebody else do my job there. So it's all good.
Okay, talk a little bit about that, because you guys just opened it. You moved from the Tallahassee Mall, which is being demolished, of course, and now now you're someplace else.
Right, exactly. We are at 1210 Capitol Circle Southeast, corner of Appalachia Parkway and Capitol Circle, in between the Tag Office and the Dollar Tree. And it's awesome. It's a great location. We've got so many people coming in. And it's twice as big as the other store. And it's got lots of furniture, home goods, things like that. And the sales have been amazing. And also, we need donations.
Okay, because you got a place to put them now.
Right, and every penny goes to spay and neuter, which is great. So everything that we make.
Okay, and that provides vouchers for folks so that
exactly.
It is actually you can get the spaying and neutering done for free.
Right, exactly. You can get it done at 14. We work with at least 14 different vets in Tallahassee. And so it's an agreement we have with them people come to our shop, they get a voucher, and then they go see the vet, and they pay the discounted price. And it's all good. And we've spayed and neutered a lot so far. So it's coming along well.
Yeah, you were looking for, what, 4,000 this year or something
like
that?
We were, but we had some financial difficulties with losing some bigger grants. But we made it up, and we won't make 4,000 this year, but we'll make about 3,200, which is close. And next year we'll do better because now that we've got a pretty good secure amount of money coming in.
Yeah, a lot of puppies and kittens that will not be born otherwise.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And then there are puppies and kittens who won't have babies. So it really nips it in the bud.
Yeah, that's it. Well, Sabrina is a new head of the Humane Society of Leon County there. You know, you came from South Florida, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, different situation down there. Just your overall assessment of kind of where we are with our animal population and adoptions and all that up here.
Well, overpopulation is definitely an issue. And really, just like Jerry said, the only way to attack the issue in a way that will have a big enough impact is to have a spay and neuter program.
Which you guys also coordinate. I mean, everyone is pushing on that just as hard as they possibly can there, right? So Amy, where are we in as far as adopting out, you know, the dogs that we already have, not just, you know, the ones that haven't been born yet, but how are we doing there?
Well, we always have an abundance of, unfortunately, of ones that don't have homes. But we are doing, you know, really good at finding them really good home. So we're happy about that. But there's, like you said, there's always more that need to be rescued.
Okay. And in the cat population too, Lisa, since that's your bailiwick there, everyone loves the little kittens. Oh, you know, it's wonderful and they're so sweet and everything, but they grow up to be cats.
They do. And then they will make kittens within another 6 months. And so the spay neuter is really big, but we are constantly booming on calls and visits and emails with people trying to, you know, rehome animals that either were theirs or that they found stray and they're looking for placement for. And the Leon County Humane Society, we try our hardest to keep an animal in a home if possible. We do provide some food assistance. We have a very small food bank that right now is pretty much depleted. So we're looking for donations for that. But, you know, we do try to help. We do offer advice. We have a phone line that offers assistance for different issues that people are having. But the number one thing is doing the spaying and neutering for your own animals. That's huge. But if people are looking for kittens, there are honestly only about 3 months of the year where we don't have kittens in. And when it booms really big. So we're starting to slow down a bit, but, you know, it'll fake you out. In a week, we'll have several more responses and several more emails. So
yeah, one of my friends said, if you want to get a handle on just what the situation is with cat adoption in the area, just check out the little sign by Novi, veterinarian down there at the corner of Magnolia and Mahan, and it tells you, you know, hey, we got tons of kittens, and they just seem to be
always.
Yeah, and that's what you said too, Perry, over at the shelter. You got an awful lot of cats coming.
Yes,
in.
Absolutely. I was just talking to Lisa this morning. They took some from us, and we took some to an off-site adoption facility. But we were actually low on cats. We had a big adoption weekend where we adopted out 42 animals, and 22 cats came in on the same day. So lots of cats. The main thing that we try to do is to keep those animals in their homes. If there's something, if someone's coming to surrender a cat or a dog, of course, then we try to work with them to say, what do you need? What would it take for you to keep that pet with you in your home? Or we try to give them options where they could rehome it themselves rather than bringing it to us or bringing it to the Humane Society. And that seems to be working as well.
Okay. Jerry Phipps, with a program like Be the Solution, why would anyone not want to spay or neuter? The objection is always, oh, I can't afford that. My gosh, you know, we barely have enough money to feed the kids. And
well, that's a decent, you know, objection to it. If you can't afford it, it makes sense. You know, if you're week to week, you can't spend $250 to get your pet spayed or neutered. That'd be ridiculous. And that's why this spay neuter voucher program helps a lot. But I was actually out doing outreach at FAMU yesterday. And I gotta say, it's frustrating sometimes. Sometimes you'll talk to men out there, and I spoke to one very nice man, and he actually was like he worked there. He wasn't a student, and he said he had a dog, a male dog, and he needed a rabies vaccination. And I was like, oh, okay, great. Well, we have the spay neuter program, and he's like, ooh, I don't want to take away his manhood. I'm not kidding. It's very common. It's very, very common. And so what I convinced him to do was fix the female that he has, because he wouldn't fix the male. So I gave him the information, set him up with a voucher for the female, but that doesn't prevent his dog from wandering and getting other females pregnant. But that's one of the common barriers, is that they relate and they put human emotions and attach them to dogs, especially male dogs.
My gosh, yeah, I hadn't heard that before.
No, it happens all the time.
It's very common.
But I'd heard the thing about, I want her to at least have the experience of giving birth. That
right.
one I've heard.
Right. Oh, yeah, I've heard that one too.
And it's just, she doesn't care. I'm sorry.
Get a video. Get a video and you can see it. And then go to the shelter and adopt one or go to Leon County Humane Society. But, yeah, that's a common – it happens a lot. There's a lot of people who need a little more education.
Yeah, we impose our emotions on them,
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very common, especially with men.
Oh, golly.
Some men, not all men.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Mm. Not you, Tom.
Well, I got a female cat, and she was prefixed when we got her. We keep trying to catch him because I want to get him fixed. It's a semi-feral Tom that keeps hanging around the house, and chirping and trilling and come on out and play,
Right.
And she just as soon rip his face off. She could care. But thinking, gee, I got to get this guy, but he's pretty elusive.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Keep trying.
Yeah.
I am. Get him. We'll get you a trap.
There you go.
We'll help you get a trap, and then you can come see us, and we'll help you get him fixed.
Okay, and hopefully I can get him to you before she gets to him and rips his face off.
We'll
have to get Paris a veterinarian involved in the whole situation here. We are talking to, if you're just joining us, a whole host of folks who are involved with animal care and getting them spayed and neutered and adopted out and all that kind of thing here on Perspectives. And your input is always welcome, of course, at 414-1234, 800-926-8809. And George is on the line. We will get to George right after the upcoming break, right here on Perspectives. And dogs and lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. And we don't have those kinds of pets, though, thankfully. But we are talking with some folks who do deal a lot with dogs and cats and kittens and puppies and that sort of thing here on Perspectives. And George wants to share an experience that he had with the Big Dog Rescue. Hey, George.
Yes, Tom. It's good to talk to you. It's been a while, but nice to have this panel on. I have a service dog, as you know, and I also have two female rabbits, which are in separate cages, but I used to volunteer for Big Dog Rescue several years ago. I used to love going out with my service dog and holding their dogs and such, and of course some of the people out there used to try to want to adopt my dog, which they couldn't, because I couldn't do without him.
Well, that's for sure.
But it was a wonderful experience. I tried to get a hold of them to get back into it and haven't had any luck reaching them. But I enjoyed my experience. I did it for a few years, and it was always fun hearing people come in wanting to adopt a dog and, knowing that they were spayed, neutered, or whatever, and had their shots and what have you. And they even had adopted some or had some kittens for adoption as well. But used to go to PetSmart on the second and fourth Saturday of the month.
Well, that's still going on. Hey, I'll tell you something, George. Why don't you hang on the line? Lydell will take your contact information, and we have a direct connection to Big Dog Rescue. We can hook you guys up again.
That would be fun. Or even, I know you have, I didn't catch where it's, I know one of these people's from the Humane Society, and you have a few other organizations there from the shelter and what have you. So, you know, it's good to talk to them. The one thing I remember, too, the Humane Society one night did a program, I forgot where it was now because it was quite some time ago, on rabbits.
Ah, that's right. Yes, I remember that program, too.
Yes,
I think we did a little promo on that.
It's actually some lady named Michelle. I don't know what, I forgot what her last name was offhand, but she had some significant physical disability. Michelle Norman, that was her name.
Okay.
It was a very, very good program, and she was very informative.
Ah, terrific. Well, again, hang on the line, and Lydell will pick up on that, and we will just get you connected all over the place, sir.
All right, sir.
Take care, George.
And good to talk to your panel, too.
Likewise. Yeah, when he said Michelle, I was thinking Michelle Vaught from over in Gadsden County. She's with the Humane Society over there.
Exactly.
So, but let's talk a little about the outlying areas there, too, because last time we did something like this, we also had Gadsden and Wakulla County Humane Society folks involved in that. But they, in many ways, they have it just as tough, if not tougher, than we do here in Leon County, right?
Oh, that's so true.
I think they absolutely do. They have very few resources there. They don't have the – we're probably the biggest municipal shelter in the quite a large county and even state area. We have people from Georgia bringing in their pets, and mm-hmm. we actually have veterinarians on staff, so we have a much better setup there. So some of those guys are really struggling, and we try to work with them where we can. We have, just to put a plug in for us, we're doing a doggy playgroup training. Mm-hmm. We're bringing a trainer down to do a two-day class for us on November the 16th and 17th, and we do have people from Wakulla, from Franklin, Gadsden, surrounding counties coming in to participate in that, learn a little bit more about doing dog play groups in their particular shelters.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yes.
And, of course, Sabrina, the your Humane Society interfaces with others. It's not like – how does that work? You have Humane Societies which are independent and yet interconnected somehow? How does that work? Okay, Amy, go ahead.
Yes, you do. Like, you have your National Humane Society of the United States, of course, but then you also have your independent humane societies, which are not affiliated with the Humane Society of the United States. So, like, we are the Humane Society of Leon County, and then there's,
Jefferson County.
Yeah, there's Jefferson County Humane Society. So, you know, they're not affiliated with the, you know, Humane Society of the United States, but and they're usually private, nonprofits.
Okay. All right, because I think Animal Planet had this on for a while. There are some Humane Society, and which are connected also to ASPCA and
right.
groups like that,
right.
that even have, like, animal control and enforcement provisions. Here in – this is a city and a county
right.
thing, right, Perry?
It is. It's a government function here, but we're lucky in this community that we do have a very good relationship with our Humane Society and with the Solution and with the other rescue groups around, and we all work together quite well to
Animal Shelter
make this
Foundation.
Come together. Animal Shelter Foundation is our particular nonprofit.
Right. Lauren Perlman is the one that did the playgroup. She's the
correct.
One that's really created the playgroup, which is
correct.
So cool.
How does that work?
Well,
I like to play. I mean, come on.
Tell them.
Amy Sadler is a professional trainer, and she has been working with shelters all over the country to prepare some training for it. It's a play. I mean, literally what it sounds like. It's a doggy play group. You bring shelter animals out, animals that would otherwise be caged 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, unless a volunteer comes by and is able to take them out for a walk. And we've put up several fenced areas, which that was funded by ASF, and mm-hmm. we also got a grant for that. But you bring the dogs out, you have volunteers out there with them, and they get to run and rip and get all their energy out. And then when you bring them back in, they are going to present a lot better. They're exhausted. They just lay in their kennels, and they're well-behaved instead of jumping all around. So it's a great training. It's great training for our staff and volunteers as well, as far as the actual handling of animals. It just helps a lot with behavior. So
okay.
We're looking forward to it.
Let's see. First, we had a shout-out from 10 to Big Dog Rescue, another thank you from email. And there are Oh, I'm trying to think of the number of organizations we have. There's one whose pronunciation I have trouble with that I see them all the time.
Sounds like Cause I Can.
That's the one. There you go. Okay. And we also have Treats, which is affiliated with the shelter as well. They have an event that's going to be coming up there, the Santa Paws Walk, which is on, I think, December 13th or whatever is that Saturday. I know they'll be doing that at Lake Ella, which is always a ton of fun. And Sabrina, the Humane Society here has some stuff coming up too, right?
Yes, the Humane Society has quite a few events coming up. The most upcoming event is happening tomorrow, actually, at Chico's on Market Street. They're hosting a private shopping party for us. So if you like to shop, come out. It's going to help us save some more lives. Chico's has been generous enough to donate back a portion of the proceeds from the sales tomorrow. So that's really going to help us out. All the funds that we raise from that shopping party are going to be used to pay for medical expenses of the adoptable animals at the Humane Society.
And we'd already mentioned the Adopt-a-thon at PetSmart. That'll be, November 14th through the 16th out there as well.
Yep, that's a Friday through Sunday. It's a three-day-long adoption extravaganza. It's at the PetSmart on Capitol Circle Northeast. And the Leon County Humane Society will be there along with several of the other local rescue groups. And we hope everyone can come out there and fall in love with an animal and take them home.
Ah, that's great. Let's check in with Ann here on line four. She has an experience to share. Hi, Ann. Welcome to Perspectives.
Thank you. A few years ago, I adopted a kitten from the Humane Society, a tiny little kitten. And today that cat is a monster. He's beautiful. He's a wonderful cat. And what struck me is that at this society, they had a common room for cats. They had a lot of, they let them all out during the day. They don't have to be caged all the time. And you could go in that room and see all these cats and interact. And I'm wondering if they might have the same thing for dogs. I'm thinking maybe getting a dog.
Let's see. We better check with the dog coordinator here. Amy, what you guys got to?
Well, our dog program is run a little bit different than our cat program. Our dog program is all foster home based. So when we take a dog into our program, it goes straight to the vet and then straight, if needed, and then straight to a foster home. So we really don't have the room at our facility to house the dog. So that's why we do the foster home. So, but it is kind of cool. Of course, we have to make sure we keep rolling in foster people that will foster for us. But it's kind of good because it gives you so much more information about the dog, whether it's house trained, usually whether it's, gets along with cats, other dogs, kids. We don't really have a facility for them. But, we always have adoptable dogs.
Okay. Over at the Animal Service Center, Perry, you also have an opportunity for folks. And there is a related foster program there, too. But you've got some spaces where you can bring animals out and interact with them. And the volunteers will kind of help to hook you up with the proper pet.
Yes, absolutely. We encourage that if you have pets at home or dogs, in the case of dogs, to bring them out there. Let's do a meet and greet. We have concrete and fenced and covered dog runs where they can go out. We also have a grassy area. We're one of the few shelters, a municipal shelter that's actually located in a park, and we are grateful every day for that rather than being next to the solid waste facility or something. Mm-hmm. So it's just a wonderful place to come out. Bring your pet. We'll work with you, do a little meet and greet, help you understand what the dogs are saying to each other. What some behavior means, because you can't always tell if you're not familiar with dog interactions. So we're happy to help with that and see what works best for you. But, yes, we have 50 dogs for adoption at any given time. Those are our kennels. We also have dogs in foster program, and we have plenty on deck waiting to come online.
And it's always an interesting experience just to go out there and kind of do a little bit of shopping, on a weekend if you are looking for pets. Since we have so many renters in this area, is that a big problem, that there are some pet-friendly accommodations in this town, but there are a lot that don't? Mm-hmm. And so are there potentially more people who would like to have pets but can't just because of the living restrictions?
I think we're doing better with that than we were in the past. We've worked closely with a lot of apartment complexes. Mm-hmm. There are going to be places where there's a size restriction or a breed restriction, and some of that has to do with their insurance coverage. But many more are pet friendly now, and a lot of places you can go and they'll give you a discount on your first month's rent or things like that. And we're also trying to get them to open up more for people who want to foster our animals. So that provides, you know, it's not like it's going to be a permanent thing, but they may have an animal for a month, you know, and find it a home eventually.
So yeah, because you hear that a lot. That, yes. Oh, gosh, you know, I would when I was living with my parents, you know, I had a dog or a cat or whatever. But now, you know, I'm up here at Florida State or FAM or whatever and living in an apartment. I can't have animals and I'd really like to. And that seems to be a problem. Well, what about, though, when those who have animals and come to the end of a term or graduate and leave and they don't take the animals with them? Do they wind up with you guys?
Yep. Yeah. It's kind of heartbreaking. You know, most – and I don't know the percentage of how often it happens, but it does happen. And, yeah, they end up with us or at the shelter. And, you know, it's I think people need to understand that it's not just a temporary situation. It's you're making a commitment, and it needs to be a serious commitment because, you know, these dogs, you know, dogs can live, you know, large breed, 10, the average, you know, is 10 years, the small breeds more, and then cats, of course, you know, can live into their teens. So, and it's important to, once you make that commitment, to stick to it.
Yeah, if you are contemplating real live parenthood, well, you kind of have until they're 18. And in the case of a cat, like you say, 16 or 17, that is the outside usually for that. The same type of commitment.
Yeah, but that's a reason that fostering is such a great idea, especially with college students. They recently, the last couple of years, have made some of our best foster parents because they don't have the long-term commitment. You know, if they want to have an animal in the home, they're not only doing a good deed for that animal by giving it that space to live until we can find it a home, but, you know, they don't have the long-term commitment. They don't have the financial commitment because their supplies and medical care are taken care of through the Humane Society. But college students are wonderful at it. And, you know, when they leave for Christmas or when they leave for spring break, you know, if they need to bring them back to us, if they haven't gotten them adopted at that point, they have a place to go. So that's a great thing for people to think about.
Any other things that you can do? Because everyone needs money, of course. That'd be great if you could just write checks to all the organizations around this table here and the others that are affiliated there. But besides doing foster program, is there anything else that you folks need in terms of volunteer help or what? Jerry, how about Be the Solution? You guys need anybody? Or?
Volunteers, yes, for the store. Experienced sales staff is always good. And also volunteers for outreach. We actually have a target zone area of Tallahassee where a lot of animals are coming into the shelter. So we're focusing on that area. And we could definitely use volunteers to help us hang flyers. We go door to door and talk to people about their pets. And it's a daunting task. So, yeah, we could use volunteers for that as well.
Okay. Humane Society, same deal?
Same deal. And I also just want to say the easiest way for people to really help us out is just to connect with us. You know, go to our Facebook page and friend us and sign up for our e-newsletter. That's really the best way for everyone to stay up to date on what we have going on. If we have volunteer needs, whether or not we have a special event coming up, you know, we may have special requests at that time. I do want to mention that we have a 2015 Paw Prints calendar. It's for sale for $10. So we have those available at the Humane Society as well as online. And then one other, I think, easy way for, you know, businesses and companies to help out is to partner with us. If a company out there or a business out there has a service or a product or whatever it may be, if they just want to, you know, donate a percentage of proceeds to us or create some kind of special promotion, any little bit helps. And we love, you know, making new friends and having partners out there in the community.
Yeah. In case you're listening very carefully and you hear a little bit of snoring on your radio, that is China the Pekingese who just nodded off here in Lisa's lap and is just loving life like crazy.
Awesome dog.
Perry, out at the Animal Service Center, I noticed that the volunteers out there, in contrast to some other shelters where they have to, like, you know, clean up the cat boxes and things, that's a little bit less intensive with you guys, right?
Oh, gosh. We have so many volunteer opportunities. You probably haven't been out there during the hours when they are cleaning because we do have – we are so reliant on our volunteer force. They come out. They're there when we open, and they come in, and they pitch right in, and they help us with everything. And then we have volunteers who are interested in working more hands-on with the animals. We have veterinary staff volunteers – We have special event volunteers. If all you really have time to do is come out and work with us at Tales and Trails and our Halloween event and things like that, we're welcome that as well. But we honestly would not be able to function the way we do without our volunteer force. So shout out to all the volunteers that are listening.
Anonymous sent us an email, wants to thank again Big Dog Rescue. Yay, more than I have words for. They do a lot more than just big dogs. Very grateful for their service. So again, many organizations. I think if you just put animal welfare Leon County into Google, you will come up with a huge laundry list of organizations that deal with animal welfare, but lots of opportunities, as you said, Perry, for organizations, businesses, state government agencies, whatever, who are always looking to do something useful and worthwhile in the community, to adopt one of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Really, and mm-hmm. and say,
sure.
Hey, this would be something that we could do and get our workforce behind to make you feel good.
Absolutely. And donations as well. I mean, not only monetary, but as Lisa said, they have a small food bank, but I'm sure that they could always, you know, use some more food to help out. We do the same things.
So, did you guys hear about Pentagon International? It's a new organization that just started up, and they're delivering food. It's run by Jan Shikitka and his wife Amelia, and they've been in the animal organization groups around here forever. And I can give you, I mean, they're supplying food for Big Dog Rescue, for IMON, and I guess they don't need you.
They have done some for us. Pets Ad Litem also provides help on special needs food for
right,
us.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, so I can get you connected up.
That'd
with
be great.
Pentagon International. They're wonderful.
Wow. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
we take in donations of food from people, and then we kind of dole it back out to, you know, we're like that central location where people, if they're at the end of the month and they can't afford it, they come to us.
Oh, yay. Okay. Well, we'll talk more about animals and animal food and taking care of our pets when we return on the other side of Perspectives. 414-1234 800-926-8809. We'll be right back. We love our critters, and we have a lot of critter lovers here on Perspectives today. And if you are one, give us a ring, 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. As we are coming off of Halloween, I wanted to throw this one out to see if any of you guys saw the YouTube video of the mutant spider dog.
No.
Yes, I
saw Dalmatian.
That was great. That was great.
Oh, was it the Dalmatian?
No, this was, I think the guy's in Sweden.
Yeah.
And he comes up with these beautifully shot and edited videos. I mean, they're every bit as good as something that you would see out of Hollywood. But he dressed up his dog, and I'm not sure what breed it was. Perry, do you remember?
I don't remember now, but it maybe a lab, but it had the spider legs. It was great.
Yeah,
he had
this costume, so it was like a gigantic tarantula.
Awesome.
And he turned it loose on, I think it was like a college campus at night. And it had encounters with various people.
Oh, my God. I have to look that up.
It was good.
The funniest one was in a parking garage. And there was an elevator inside the parking garage. It was like one of the ones over here at FSU. Okay. And he had this shot from above, again, beautifully, beautifully. And the music is ominous and terrifying. He's lying down. He's got fake blood all over him, okay?
Oh.
And, of course, the dog's licking his face because it's
right.
So friendly. And the elevator gets to the proper floor, and there the two young ladies who are waiting to get in the elevator. The door opens. Of course, there's this body covered with blood, and this dog, you know, or a spider, you know, apparently eating it. They shriek and flee.
Oh my gosh. We have to look that up.
Spider dog.
Yeah, a giant mutant spider dog. That's the name of this one.
So.
Perry, you'll have to add that to your haunted house.
Yeah. I'm thinking so, yep.
You guys do have a haunted house out at the shelter.
We do the Howl at the Moon every year right before Halloween, and it's just a great thing to bring the community in, look at the animals, have a good time.
Coming up later this month also, a downtown get-down Humane Society is involved with, right? What's going to be going on there, Sabrina?
Yes, so the Humane Society has been invited to participate with Capital City Bank. We've been lucky enough, we were invited to be at their tent for Downtown Get Down. We're really excited. It's the first year that we've had this opportunity. And that'll be – also, it's a huge game for FSU. You know, it's a rival game against UF. So,
yeah.
You know, we hope people can come out there and say hi to us. We're going to have some great prizes. So come stop by the tent, enter in for the prizes. And we're still looking for volunteers as well if anyone's interested in working that booth with us.
Ooh, okay. And that's first appearance for Humane Society during a Downtown Get Down.
Yes, it is.
That is good. And the 12 Days of Catmas on December 13th.
Yeah, so this is a new event for us, the 12 Days of Catmas. So basically what we'll be doing is for the first 12 days of December, we will feature a different cat each day and kind of highlight what their special needs are and what they're looking for in their forever family. And then that will culminate on December 13th with an adoption event where we will waive all adoption fees for cats aged 5 months and older.
For Siamese and a da-da. Okay, yeah, I got that. Let's see, I think it's Anonymous says, thanks for the job you guys are doing. You found apparently her cat. And, we're asleep again.
I can't keep her awake.
She woke up for like 5 minutes and then she's out again.
It's start talking. I don't know what to do.
They are just boring to her.
Yeah, that's Sorry. It. Our riveting conversation here just got her absolutely enchanted. In case you're joining us, that snoring you hear in the background is China the Pekingese, who is in Lisa's lap right now. That's one of Lisa Glunt's foster dogs here for the Humane Society of Leon County. And Sabrina's got to get a shot of that one. We'll get that one up on the web as well. What to ever be the solution then, Jerry? Some things that you guys got cooking.
Well, we're going to increase our spay neuters that we do every month to at least 300. Right now we're doing about 275 a month. So, but we need to increase that to 300 or 350. And we have Tally Top Pet coming up in February. It's coming up quick.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that is a huge event.
That's a huge event for us because we really raise a lot of money for spay neuter. And there's so much education that goes along with it. So, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be our sixth year doing it.
I think so, yeah. And now, what's the motivation for folks who may be new to, you know, Tally Top Pet and they have no idea what the thing's about?
It's an online pet photo contest. It's amazing. It's $1 a vote. $10 to enter, and we have a kickoff event February 28th, and this year it's going to be at Lake Ella, and I'm so excited. It's a beautiful place to, and we'll be able to do a walk, and I think it's going to really grow. I hopefully grow considerably. Sorry, boring China. But China could get her picture taken, and then she could get her friends and family to vote for her, $1 a vote, and last year we netted $44,000.
No kidding.
No kidding. And every penny. And this year our goal is to do $65,000. Everything goes to spay neuter. Every single dime. Yeah. So, and we got to get the spay neuters up even more. My goal is $4,000. I'm going to make it this time.
Okay.
Because we got enough money now.
Back to the phones we go on Perspectives as we check in with Bob. Hi, Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. How you doing?
Real good.
Listen, I spent the last 6 years in a motorhome with my three dogs, driving around the country and with my wife, and we would frequently find that there are many cities and counties that have dog runs where you can let the dogs just run wild in a big enclosed area, usually divided in big dogs, little dogs. Is there anything like that here?
Dog run.
There is a dog park in Tom Brown Park, actually, where the shelter is located. It's not affiliated with the shelter at all, but it is a city park. And it is divided. There are two areas. There's one for big dogs, one for small dogs. And the only thing that I would caution on use of these type facilities is be there and monitor. You know, think of that as your small child out there with a lot of other big kids. Monitor your dog. Monitor all that interaction and be ready to intervene if there's any sense that there's been any sort of an issue. Because that's the main concern that I would have. Some people will drop dogs off and not watch what they're doing, and that can create problems really, really fast. But it is a nice park, having said all that. It's in the middle of Tom Brown Park. There are signs there, and you can just follow along. There's a road. If you go past the shelter, in fact, just keep going around, and it'll be on your left.
Okay, do you know where that is, Bob?
Not exactly, but eventually. Just give me the name of the street that it's near.
Go to Easterwood Drive. That's where the shelter's located. It's right next to the Red Cross and the dispatch center.
It's on the east side of town, off of Capitol Circle, Bob.
Terrific. Terrific. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Hey, thank you for your call. Sure, appreciate it. Let's see. While we're on the phones, let's check in with Jasir, see what's going on there. Hi, Jasir. Welcome.
Hi, it's Jasir.
Jasir, yes.
I'm calling about my cat, Sky, who was lost for 10 weeks. And the animal shelter, the Leon County Animal Shelter, I went and visited them weekly. And they did a great job of just helping me stay on top of it. And then the Humane Society actually found him, went out of their way to call me, make sure I got my cat, make sure he was healthy. And between the two places, they just did this phenomenal, amazing, miraculous job. And I wanted to thank all of them, especially Melissa at the animal shelter.
Oh, that is so sweet.
Thank you.
Thank you. That just means the world to us to hear that what we're doing is working. We have a fantastic lost and found coordinator, and she just puts her heart and soul into it. And we do work closely with Humane Society as well. So I'm so glad your cat's home.
Yeah. Yeah, a family reunion is probably the happiest thing on that. Perry, I know that one of the things, and you guys have taken some unfair heat on that, you know, oh, we need to have a no-kill shelter and all that. That is the dream of everybody connected with the shelter that I have been able to determine, right?
You know, we all want a world where every animal has a loving home. I think that we would all agree with that. And we certainly don't want to euthanize any animal unnecessarily. So to the extent we're doing everything that we can and that we can do with our partners to reach a goal of increasing our live release rate. And we've been doing well with that. And it's a community issue, and it's a multifaceted issue in that we have to keep animals from coming into the shelter. Once they're there, we've got to keep them healthy, both mentally and physically. And then we have to find the right homes for them when they come out. And a lot of that is educating the community about what's needed, how they can help us and help the other groups around. But I would certainly say that I don't think there's anybody that says we want more euthanasia.
Boy, by having partners like the Humane Society to help out with adoptions and all the other things and then be the solution to make sure that we don't get unwanted animals in the first place, you put all that together and that makes that job then doable.
Absolutely.
Really. Okay. Let's see what we have as far as – okay, anyone else calling in, guys? Oh. Okay. Oh, poor China. So tired. Well, I know doing a talk show is an exhausting kind of thing, China, so we imagine. But there are lots of Chinas out there, and that's the thing, too. Let's talk about the resources we have as far as websites. So you actually can go online and shop for an animal that, oh, my God, there's a cute one, you know, and that's at the shelter, or the Humane Society has that. So let's talk about the website, Perry.
We have, of course, talgov.com, online kennel. If you go to talgov.com and then look under animal services in our online kennel, we have pictures of all our adoptable animals with a little description there. So, and that's minute-to-minute updated. So when one's adopted, the picture comes down as soon as we complete the adoption. People also go through, that appears also on Pet Finder and things like that. There are other links out there where you can get to them. And of course, Humane Society has their own site as well. So without leaving the comfort of your home, you can get an idea of what you're looking for out there.
Okay. And what are the charges associated with that? Because sometimes those fees are waived. You have special promotions and things that go on.
We do. And those vary with all the different groups. I can tell you that at the shelter, we have some basic fees. Luckily, with our veterinary staff now, we have two vets on staff. So every animal that leaves is spayed and neutered. We have a base fee. And then if we do the sterilization in-house, then we provide that fee. But if an animal's been there more than 30 days, if an animal's over 5 years old, or if we have a special adoption event going on, oftentimes those fees are waived entirely. So it's just good to look and kind of keep up to date with what we have going on at any given time.
Okay, and Lisa, Amy, what's the deal with the Humane Society adoption then for those fees?
We have, of course, our animals online, and they can look at them. Our fees, just really what we're recouping is what we have in them medically. And a lot of times that's not even the case because we do take on some harder cases that, you know, have some medical issues and, you know, we have to get those taken care of. So, you know, it ranges. We have a range for our dogs and for our cats. But it just depends on what we have in them. We're just trying to, you know, keep our heads above water.
It's not a profit center, in other words, right?
No, not by any means.
Right. I don't think for any of us.
Generally speaking, though, for cats, for adult cats 6 months and over, you're looking at $80 for the adoption fee. With kittens, it's $100. But like Amy said, we do take on a lot of the project cases. So a good majority of the kittens probably that we get in are we're getting in because they're sick or they've been stray, they're bottle feeders, whatever it might be. So we're fully, you know, we're putting the money into it and just trying to recoup what we can at that point.
You would think with all the online resources that we have available now that people would come to realize that not only is it a time commitment when you have a pet, but mm-hmm. also there is an investment you have to make in keeping them healthy. And right. there are certain yes. things that you should and should not do and shots that are required and all that kind of thing. You guys all do that kind of education too, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's a resource that people need to know when to, you know, update the, a feline immune deficiency situation and rabies and all that kind of thing.
Yes, we provide, with every animal that is adopted from the shelter, we provide their medical history, and we ask that within the next 10 days that you take the animal to your veterinarian so that you can establish a relationship there and then see if there's anything else that they might need in going forward in the future.
And there is pet medical insurance also that's out there.
Wow. Yes, a lot of that out there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. My daughter has that for her two chihuahuas and
wow.
saved her, but a lot of times, as well as her checkbook. Let's go to the phones. Larry awaits. Hi, Larry.
Yeah, I told him because I know here all our discussion about trapped neuter and release, which I think is really important. And I also want to congratulate the groups that finally took some money loose from the money tree down there at City Hall. And by having the turnout of so many people in the red shirts down there. But and encourage people to don't listen to when the City Hall Paul Mallison says don't have money for these kind of issues in this community. They have plenty of money for laying lots of concrete all over town. They definitely got plenty of money for dealing with essential issues that are their responsibility in the first place. And also a shout out to there's a group called Retail that helped me with a feral cat, and they also have a little thrift store that's down on South Monroe Street.
Ica.
Mm-hmm. Just south of the fairgrounds on the left there where the Frontier Trade and the little airframe building is there.
Oh, that's great, Larry. Hey, I really appreciate that, sir, and all the best to you. It's always good to hear from you.
Okay, man. You have a good day, and keep up the good work to all of you there.
Thanks a lot, Larry. Appreciate it. Larry Hendricks, who ran recently for mayor of Tallahassee and always gets involved in things. You were nodding your head on that, Jerry, so you're familiar with that organization, too, right?
It's ICA. I know Cam Fentress, we meet with her monthly. And they do a lot of good work down there. They've got a little retail shop. They are open, I think, on the weekends. It's down there on Woodville Highway, I think, but it's called Retail. You could Google
it. Yeah.
Yeah,
I know where you're
they're a great
about.
Organization.
Yeah, there's so many groups around.
It's wonderful how we all work together. I don't think it was always that way.
No.
I really – in the time that I've been around, I came around in 07, and it was a little sticky then. It wasn't – well, actually not sticky at all. You really couldn't find a whole lot of – cooperation, but it's so awesome now.
It is. There are some communities we couldn't all be in a room like this.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't be feasible.
Right.
So, yeah, we're lucky here.
Yeah, and Sabrina, coming from South Florida, you've seen that there too. Again, my daughter's in Broward County, and she's very much involved with animal rescue efforts and stuff down there, and she says sometimes it is very hard to get the different organizations to work together. Everyone's scrambling for the same money and resources, and it can get nasty at times. So.
Right, and this really is an issue across the board for all nonprofits. The majority of my background is working with nonprofits and fundraising. And really the greatest impact I've seen and the most positive campaigns and promotions really happen when people come together and they choose to collaborate with each other. Mm-hmm. And they can look at the group next to them and say, hey, you're not my competition. And because ultimately we're all working for the same cause and we're all looking to make the same positive impact. So.
Right.
When you can frame a social issue or a community issue, if you look at it like a big puzzle, you kind of realize that we all have our own piece that fits together mm-hmm. to try to have more of an impact.
Yeah, and Perry, Larry brought up a good point there, too, that if citizens are concerned about animal welfare and all, because you guys took a budget hit back when budgets were shrinking and revenues were down and all that. But if that becomes a priority for local governments, both city and county, since it's a joint operation there, it gives you guys more resources to operate and do what you need to do. So,
right. I mean, I think it's every citizen's obligation to, if there's something that you're interested in, you need to speak out. Let your government know that, that this is something that you want, whether it's animal welfare or whatever your particular your cause or need is.
You're saying we're the government. What a concept.
Yeah.
Folks, we could go on the rest of the day. I really appreciate your coming in and talking about the critters that we all love. So Perry, Sabrina, Lisa, Amy.
You're welcome.
And, of course, Jerry. Thank you so much for coming on to Perspectives.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
us. It's been fun.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls pushing the buttons and handling the interface today. I'm Tom Flanagan. Hoping you can join us again next week. More expert opinion and, of course, your input as always right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.